Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. The text for the message today is from our epistle lesson in Philippians chapter 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Thus far the text. I think the American people are frustrated with their elected officials. Some years ago, I received email forwards from many family and friends calling for a constitutional amendment that would limit the terms of our congregational representatives and senators to a maximum of 12 years, that would prevent them from serving as lobbyists after their terms of service in Congress, and that would require that they have the same health insurance and Social Security that the bulk of Americans grapple with. Those emails and other communications that I've received give the impression that Americans believe that their congressmen and women are looking out for their own best interests and not necessarily for the interests of those who elected them to office. But it's not just a problem on the national level. There's also much frustration in our state that our local officials, who are well connected in their parties, are given short-term appointments to lucrative state positions for short durations just before retirement, so that their retirement packages will be that much better for the rest of their lives, and that it is permissible for former elected officials to be able to collect a state pension while still working at an active job for the state, thereby collecting double payments from the state. I think if you approach these politicians, they would just say that they have to take care of their own interests and that they're looking out for number one, if it's legal for them to do these actions. The taxpayers may say, on the other hand, that these politicians are taking advantage of a broken state system that rewards those insiders at the expense of the taxpayers and social program recipients. Most conflicts in areas like this develop out of a competition for limited resources. Get what is rightly coming to you and do not deprive others of what is rightly coming to them, seems to be a common view. But you cannot seriously work at both of those purposes. The world thinks that greatness comes from thrusting yourselves up above others. But what about the greatest human who ever lived, Jesus Christ? He had tremendous connections. Indeed, he had an abiding relationship with our Heavenly Father and Creator, but he did not take advantage of that relationship to get all that he could out of it at the expense of others. No, Christ's example is greatness through being servant of all. Today in the church year, we celebrate Palm Sunday. We remember Jesus' glorious entrance into Jerusalem as the pilgrims traveling for the feast welcomed him as the promised Messiah. And so they cut down palms from the trees on the road and laid them out along with their cloaks to welcome Jesus into Jerusalem. Palm Sunday was a day of exaltation. The people were recognizing Jesus for who they believed he was and giving him the proper glory. He was indeed the very Son of David and the Son of God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, they shouted out. But it was not to last. Already in the background to the shouts of praise, you can hear the grumbling voices of the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders. You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the whole world is going after him. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And he answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." The voices of the Pharisees opposing Jesus would grow to drown out the voices of praise and exaltation by the end of that week. Jesus would be crucified. for the glory and the welcome of Palm Sunday were not to last. Jesus could not receive glory apart from the cross. Satan offered Jesus that at his temptation when he said to him, "I will give you all the kingdoms of the world if you will fall down and worship me." But Jesus replied, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Jesus knew that true glory only comes through the cross and through suffering. The Palm Sunday celebration ends abruptly with Jesus' words in our gospel reading today, which follows right after John's account of the Palm Sunday procession. Some Greeks come and they ask to see Jesus, and he responds with the words of our gospel, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Jesus knows that at the end of the week, he will be sentenced to death, and he will be crucified. But it is not only the physical pain that causes him to pause, but also that he will take upon himself the sins of everyone in the world. "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." How will the Father be glorified? Through Jesus' crucifixion and the cross. Earlier, Jesus had set his face toward Jerusalem. He did not stray from that path, even though he knows what awaits him at the end of the week, the very cross of crucifixion. Jesus deserved all the glory that was heaped upon him as he made his way into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. But his true glory would be found in the cross and suffering. Here, in his obedience and death, would the Father be glorified. It is not that God rejoices in seeing his Son nailed to the cross and suffering such pain and agony. But why is the cross the source of all glory? Because here God would work out salvation for all of humanity, for all of us who are gathered here today. Here in the cross, God would fulfill all his promises made to Abraham and to the Old Testament prophets, solving the problem of sin. Jesus could have been saved from the cross by God's intervention, but if he had, we would still be today in our sins. It is to God's glory and our salvation for God the Father to allow Jesus to suffer and die. The motivation for our epistle today can be found earlier in Philippians 1:27. "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." This implies that there is a manner of living that's worthy of the gospel of Christ and one that is unworthy of the gospel. Jesus has linked us in again from the gospel. "If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, my servant will be also." Living a life worthy of the gospel of Christ means that just as Jesus goes through suffering and the cross, we also will go through suffering and the cross in this life. And so Jesus gives each of us a call to service and a call to a servant's heart. The first verse of the text tells us why Paul wrote this summary of Jesus' humiliation and exaltation. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." And so we do not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. Just as Jesus was God, but did not considering grasping for equality with God, he humbled himself even unto the cross and death. We too keep our place in this world in perspective when we look for opportunities to be a servant. For Jesus, who was God, to count equality with God was not robbery, but it is robbery for us to claim equality with God, to decide that we know best in all situations, and to decide that what he has in mind for us to be doing is not necessary. Pursuing that judgment And that course of life is unworthy of the gospel. God continues to be glorified in us as we humble ourselves and struggle with suffering today. Our patient endurance in suffering is a beacon to others who suffer in similar ways. Our patient endurance in suffering tests and purifies our faith in God. Patient endurance in suffering moves us to prayer and to a continuing connection with the cross of Jesus Christ. Sometimes there are some among us who must work two or three jobs in order to meet all their expenses, especially if their jobs are part-time or minimum wage. It's hard trying to balance all that work with a desire to spend time with our family for whom we are working. But when the house is paid off or the credit card bills are paid, we can give up perhaps that second or that third job and have more time to relax with our family. Because Jesus has gone to the cross and has paid the penalty of death for our sins, we are freed up today from having to work out our salvation. We live each day in His grace. Experiencing the gospel frees us to put others first in our lives. Because of our great need, salvation that has been provided for us freely in Christ, we can go about now doing the mission that God has called us to. Namely, we proclaim salvation in Jesus to the unbeliever, and we nurture the faith of fellow believers. As our faith in Jesus grows through the means of grace, we become empowered to think like Jesus as we place God's mission first in our lives and in our relations with one another, to put the good of the other before our own good. The ultimate good is that everyone first come to faith in Christ and that they grow together in that faith with us. Here is what God desires from this death of Jesus, that everyone would be saved and to come to the knowledge of salvation in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus has been exalted through his suffering and death, every knee will indeed bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, as the text says. God's desire is that all knees and that all tongues of the people in this world would do that willingly, as those who regard Jesus as their Lord and Savior in this world. On the last day, all knees will bow, whether willingly or not, but God's desire is that all will believe and do it willingly. It is our privilege to continue to exalt Jesus today, so that the Holy Spirit working through our words can draw people to recognize Jesus as their Savior and to bow their knees before Him in reverent awe. Jesus also says about our service in the gospel, "If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Ultimately, as we are faithful to God, we too will be exalted in heaven, just as Christ was. Being exalted in heaven is simply the fact that we are there, that we have a welcome and an invitation to be at God's side. During that first Passion Week, Jesus was humbled, even to the point of death. But through the glory of the cross, God has exalted him through resurrection and ascension to his own right hand. As we follow Jesus through our own suffering, through our service to others and our individual crosses, we too will be exalted with him on high and well prepared to bow our knee and to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord upon his return. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.